Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hey, does civilization seem stable to you? When 911 is busy or law enforcement decides to hide rather than protect you, don't worry. With Spike training, you will know exactly what to do. Through a series of approximately 96 hours of video training seminars, Bo Greit, America's most decorated Green Beret commander, and his team of professional instructors brings his special forces training to your home through digital video. Delivered priority mail on a 128-gigabyte USB flash drive in 960 by 640 quality, you will receive the same instruction that Special Operations Command elite troops receive. There are no guarantees in life, but education and preparation always better your odds for survival. Go to bogreitz.us, that's B-O-G-R-I-T-Z.us, or abrn.tv to arrange to receive your 12 phases of Spike training. Single-phase downloads are also available on the site.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good evening, folks, and welcome once again to another edition of the Contenders for the Faith radio broadcast. I am Pastor Anthony Garrisi, and I'm broadcasting to you live from the grand state of Arizona, and I feel like I'm going through deja vu. It is grand here. Why? Because the weather's back to normal. The fires are starting to get a little bit under control. They've opened up the highway up to Pine, at least, but you can't get past Strawberry. And thus, several of our church folks are not able to get to church this past Sunday and the last Sunday. So that's what it is. We hope for rain. We desperately hope for rain, but we'll be grateful for whatever God gives us. Folks, we are a show that's dedicated to tackling controversy and conspiracy directly related to Christianity. And we do all this from a biblical perspective because we believe that King James Bible is our final authority in all matters. From politics to pop culture, it has all the answers. And yeah, we're just crazy enough to believe you stick to that book, you'll make the right decisions, and that'll take this nation in the right direction. But that is if they would respect God and respect His Word. Yeah, that's right. The Word that had such an influence that it's worked itself into our English language. It's worked itself into the common colloquialisms. Colloquialisms, that's a good word. Say that three times fast. It's worked itself into our lives, and it just seems like the public schools, our universities are doing everything to, and by the way, our Bible colleges as well, are doing everything to get God out of the equation and the Word of God out of the equation. And the mess that we're seeing today is the fruit of all of that. Folks, welcome to the show. And also, we must welcome the longtime vacationing host who is finally back. Pastor Jason Burton, man, how do you feel? I mean, do you feel relaxed? Do you feel like you're back on your game? You caught the Moby Dick of trout up there? And
I was never off of my game. Excuse me very much. Hey, but we were off grid quite a bit. I tell you, there are some deep, dark recesses back there in Idaho and Montana and Oregon and. And we were we had quite the trip. Hopefully we were an encouragement to some church folks that we were able to meet with out in Nissa, Oregon. Pastor Mike Hoover, a longtime host right here on this station and a longtime listener as well, jumps into the chat room every once in a while. We were able to visit with him at First Missionary Baptist Church in Nissa, Oregon. So if you're up in that area, boy, you couldn't find any better pastor to have than Pastor Mike Hoover. And then we went over and spent a few days with Pastor Dan Zike, who's actually subbed on this show before, and had just had a great time with Old Paz Historic Baptist Church there in Tualatin, Oregon, which, by the way, is in southern Portland. I can tell you this, we never went actually into the city. We only stayed on the loop around the city, and it was an absolute disaster zone. I mean, there was graffiti everywhere. There was just garbage laying on the streets. There were tent cities that had popped up in, just every couple of blocks right on the main interstate there. It was a very interesting thing to see, and just a couple of conversations I had with just normal Oregonians there in southern Portland area. They told me that they just were grieving over what had happened with their society there. Portland used to be such a beautiful city. It was called, one of them told me it was called the City of Roses. And boy, it was just, it was a mess. Thankfully, we stayed most of our time outside of outside of Portland. We went and got to see the ocean, which is always one of my wife's favorites. And so pray for Old Pass Historic Baptist Church as well, right there in southern Portland area, actually in Tualatin, Oregon, Pastor Dan Zeich. They're doing a good work there, Pastor Anthony. And I know you go up there every once in a great while to visit. They are, they're in need of a place to meet. They're doing really well. And so, especially with our family of nine, we really packed out that, place that they're meeting. But, pray for them if you would. They could really use a bigger facility. But then we spent the rest of our vacation there in, Idaho. First of all, in northern Idaho, St. Mary's, and did a little fishing on the St. Joe River up there. Did a little mountain climbing with the old van. Yeah. I think you saw some of the pictures of that and made it. Praise the Lord. Yes, we were all very surprised. And then we spent some time in far eastern Idaho, and just north of Salmon, Idaho, in a place called Gibbonsville. And that's where there were some gold mines and things like that. No, I didn't find any gold mines, but that's where I got to fish on the Salmon River. It was like a lifelong dream. Anyway, I could go on and on about my vacation because it was wonderful and we enjoyed it very much. But I'll tell you this. Sunday at church was so precious and so sweet, and I walked into the building, and they're written on the front on the big whiteboard that I use for lessons was "Welcome home, Burtons," and it was just a wonderful thing. So yeah, about made me cry.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned Pastor Dan Zeich. He's a dear friend of ours. And folks, if you're in the Portland area, you need to look up the Old Paths Historic Baptist Church. Give him a call. Check him out on his website. Here is one of the results of the COVID lockdowns. They were meeting in the Heritage Center there in Tualatin, and due to, Kate Brown? Is that the governor's name? Yeah. Due to the Oregon governor's unreasonable and unscientific lockdowns, it forced them to meet in their homes. Now, they weren't under persecution, so to speak, but, you know, so you can add this to the unreasonable government dictatorial lockdowns. This is just one of the results, and so they've been meeting in their home since COVID began, and you're right, they're in desperate need of a building because they just don't have enough room for their church folks, and it's getting really difficult. And I know some folks, because the idea of church is so foreign to them, they think, well, you know, you just don't let yourself get so big, and they can't comprehend people wanting to be there. But in Pastor Zeich's case, we need to pray that God will give him a building. So lift him up. And also, by the way, he is a lordship pastor. That means he puts the Lord Jesus Christ over his church and not the government. And so if you're looking for one, you think they're not in Oregon. They're there. You just got to look a little bit harder. All right. You'll find him, and he's a good preacher. You'll love him, I promise you. So you keep him in your prayers. And speaking of lordship pastors, the ELC meetings – which will be held August 2nd through the 5th in the metropolis of Miesic, Michigan. It's just right around the corner, folks. So if you're on that side of the country in the Midwest, closer to where Pastor Jason is, we encourage you to get on up there. The pastors from all over the country will gather up in Miesic, and you'll hear all kinds of good preaching. And these are all guys that are not incorporated. They're not yoked up with the state, all right? They're just preaching the Word of God, keeping church as simple as the Bible keeps it. And so we encourage you to check that out. That's going to be August the 2nd through the 5th. Did I get the dates right on that?
I think through the 5th, yeah, that's right. And we'll about double the population of that little town up there. But they've got a lot going on up there in Miesic at Bible Believers Historic Baptist Church, the longest church name that I've ever heard of. They're actually in the process of building a nice new building there. They've just outgrown where they are, too. So, I mean, lest we think that it's all doom and gloom and the great falling away is, you know, leeching all of our churches of people, which sometimes it feels that way. There are still folks that are interested in serving Jesus Christ in a pure way in a church that has not compromised. And so, you know, we shouldn't feel alone. We shouldn't get like Elijah, right, and be feeling sorry for ourselves and have to have God tell us, hey, look, there are 7,000 that didn't bow their knee to Baal. If you come to that meeting up there in Miesic, you're going to see at least a dozen, probably more, pastors who throughout the country are standing on the principles of the Word of God and not backing down, and have folks in their churches who are interested in just living for Christ. Amen. And so that's a great encouragement when we can get together for things like that. But yeah, that'll be August 2nd through the 5th, and Lord willing, I'll be there. I don't know if you'll be able to make it this year, Pastor Anthony, but there are going to be a whole bunch of people that are there. And trust me, the entire time I will email you and text you and call you like I always do, telling you what you're missing.
That's all I need. But I'll tell you something, guys. We gather together because we're pretty loyal to each other, and we love each other. And speaking of loyalty, I touched on this last week on the show. That is loyalty to one's country. Now, I realize this country is not perfect, and I think anybody who's listened to the American Voice Radio Network for any length of time, you know that there are a lot of problems with this great nation. Notice I said great. Why? Because I live here. Not that I think that I am great, but I live here, and I'm kind of biased to the place that I live in. All right? It's just how I am. And I believe that it's actually a biblical principle. So I think people saw in the news another activist. This is Gwen Berry. They're not at the Olympics yet, but this is a kind of a qualifier, was held in Eugene, Oregon. And I guess throwing hammers is a sport. So she is a hammer thrower, and she won the bronze of the three medals to be won in this qualifier. And then as they stood to receive their medals, they also received their flowers, Jason. And as they stand there, what normally takes place during the Olympics, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not a huge fan of the Olympics, but because I'm biased towards our country, I will look at the newspaper every once in a while to see where we're at in the medals. Just how I am, guys. I will check the Arizona Diamondbacks from time to time. I like Arizona. I like the United States of America. In fact, I love the United States of America, and I can't think of a better place to live. But anyway, they played the national anthem, and Gwen Berry decided to react to it, and she turned away as the other two medalists are looking towards the flag, Jason. They put their hands on their hearts as the national anthem began to play. She turned away in disgust, and then she took a shirt with a statement, activist athletes, kind of in the same tradition as Colin Kaepernick, and put it over her head to hide her face.
Ah,
good. Shame. Okay. And I'm going to tell you this, and please don't take this wrong, folks. She's as ugly as sin. And the reason why she's as ugly as can be is because her rot gut attitude. That is the facts. All right. If you don't like it, maybe you shouldn't be on the listening to the American Voice Radio, because what you're going to get is some folks that love America on this show. But guys, this is just reprehensible. Say, well, Republicans, they think it's reprehensible. We don't like Republicans. We don't like Democrats. And no, guys, this should disgust you. All right. Now, we've talked about Colin Kaepernick, who was really a worthless quarterback to begin with. But this attitude of disloyalty, when you just received a medal, and everything that you are that is making a living throwing hammers, while there are actual real workers out there on job sites hammering with hammers and making a living for their families, you get to play with your hammer, and you're standing up there, and you're disgusted with the flag, and you're disgusted with the national anthem. I'm sorry, Jason, that's simply not biblical.
No, and by the way, the hammer throw is quite the manly sport, and so I wouldn't want to tangle probably with this young lady in a back alley somewhere. But that being said, this is one of the only places in the world where she can actually get to the point that where she's at in terms of elite, and certainly in history, she would have been suppressed in every other place. Could you see her throwing a hammer for Saudi Arabia even today?
Yeah.
Or
no.
For, you know, and so she has to understand that her ungratefulness just makes her look bad. It doesn't make America look bad. And so, you know, this was petulant. This was something that a 4-year-old would do if they didn't get what they wanted. And she can be ashamed all she wants, but why in the world would she then be an Olympic athlete for the United States of America? After all, isn't she going to wear USA on her uniform? Well, then why would she turn her back on the flag? I really honestly don't get it, but I don't think it's any deeper than it's just an emotional, visceral response to something she's been pre-programmed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not justified in anything she's doing, guys. The fact is, she's not oppressed. She's not oppressed. She's standing up there, not oppressed.
Oppressed people don't stand on a platform
and receive
an award.
She may be depressed. She may be spiritually a mess, which we know that. No saved person can justify this kind of attitude. Say, what do you mean by saved person? Listen, if you're saved, you are commanded that in everything you are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God's will is for you to be thankful. And one of the marks of the degenerate society that we're living in is a lack of thankfulness. It's amazing to me to listen to these politicians who are making millions, from Maxine Waters to Mayor Lightfoot, talking about how oppressed they feel and that they are going to actively work to get that oppression off the shoulders of the people. Actually, they are the oppression. That's another subject, I'm sure, for another time. Mayor Lightfoot, we would say you're the one that's actually oppressing Chicago because you're telling lies and you're convincing your own people that they need to react violently, and that's what's taking place. They are shooting each other. They're killing each other. They're not even going after white folks in this violent Black Panther uprising. They're just killing each other, just like they do in Africa, and just like they do in Iraq, and just like they do in Palestine. Yeah, you heard me. I said Palestine. They're killing each other, using their kids as shields, and then blaming it on the other side. You can't hide that kind of thing. You are the oppressor. Listen, the Apostle Paul taught us that if you love Christ, you love your country. That's actually a principle in Scripture. Why wouldn't you love your country? Paul said, I love him so much, he says, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You tell me you love America, let's see that kind of attitude for you. Right there, you love America? I bet you don't love America like Paul loved Israel. Paul said, I wish I could, if it were possible, I'd be accursed for them so they wouldn't be accursed. Imagine that kind of love. But you know why? Because he loved Christ, and he experienced the love of Christ. You can't come away from the love of Christ, and then when the national anthem is played, spit on the ground, turn the other way, and cover your face. It's just not possible.
Well, and as Christians, there's even another layer in this, right? Because we are not of this world.
That's
we are ambassadors for Christ. And so we have to understand that in a very basic way, we are actually members of a different kingdom. I spoke about this in church yesterday. Imagine that you're an ambassador and you're in a foreign land, and you start to run down the ruler of that foreign land, and you start to misbehave yourself in a way that doesn't represent your king very well. You're going to be a very bad ambassador.
Yep.
But as Christians, we have a double duty here, don't we? In fact, we have a greater duty to God to be representatives of Christ in this world. And so it goes back to what you said originally. Can you act this way? Can you be petulant like this and still be showing forth a Christianity that's true and authentic? It'd be very difficult to imagine that. Because
yeah.
We're told if possible, we're to live peaceably with all men, is what the scriptures say. And so if she is going to get the benefits of the United States of America, if she is going to have the privilege of being born in the United States of America and the privilege of being able to go to college and be able to get into elite sports in America and to become a famous high-performing athlete in America, then why in the world would she ever be ungrateful toward that which was largely what set her up for success?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they didn't have hammer throwers 150 years ago. Instead, you'd be throwing a hammer at a rock trying to break it, or you'd be working out in the fields, or you'd be doing something else. But instead, in her elite, it's just a great dissatisfaction with how things are, a great unthankfulness and an ungratefulness, which the Bible predicts people will be this way in the time preceding the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yep, neither were they thankful, is what Romans says. Romans chapter 1 says. Here's another example of love for one's country, and this is Exodus 32. after Israel had completely rejected God's commandments. And this is, by the way, Israel that saw the miracles of God. All right. Now, the thing about America, Jason, is if we could go back to the 1700s, if Americans could see what we sacrifice and what we fought for, maybe they have a better understanding. But we're 200 years from that, over 200 years from that, and so they've forgotten history. Here Moses has Israel fresh on crossing the Red Sea, escaping Egypt after the 10 plagues. They saw miracle after miracle, and then they decide to raise up this gold calf, have a rock concert, and just totally reject everything God says. And here's what Moses said in regards to his people. And this is Exodus 32:32. He said, yet now, he's talking to the Lord, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now you talk about love for one's country. He just said this, take my name out of the book of life, don't take theirs. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. That's not possible. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 9, that if it were possible, he said, I would be accursed. He said, it just can't be done. But Moses, another, by the way, the greatest prophet ever was, these are Jews. There's no more stubborn people on the planet than the Jewish people. And here's what Moses said. Look, he said, God, could you do it? Could just take my name out of the book of life. I don't know. I mean, honestly, it challenges my love for this country. But when you see Paul and when you see Moses and their love for people that completely rejected God, how can we as believers in Christ look at attitudes like this? We know there's corporate corruption. We know abortion is at an all-time high. We know the ungratefulness in this country is unbelievable. We are the highest office in the land is weak and pathetic. We have women running the show down to the depths of depravity. Our borders are porous. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to sit. I don't care if I'm at Chase. We went to Chase Field, Jason, and they played the national anthem at the baseball game. I stood up, put my hand on my heart, took my hat off my head, and I sang that song as loud as I could. I'm not going to sit for this. Listen, I know there's corruption, but what I see in my Bible, you're to love your country. And the greatest examples of Christianity, the greatest examples show that they were willing to give their very eternal soul for their country. And then we got this scuzz bucket on a podium rejecting the opportunity to represent her own country. And then she wants to go to Tokyo? She wants to stand there in Tokyo and try to win a medal? That's as selfish as it gets. And as a Christian, and you've tuned in, if you love America, you've tuned in the right show. As a Christian, this is unacceptable.
Well, it is. I mean, she has literal privilege, whether she thinks that she doesn't or not. And she just has an ungrateful spirit about it. Now, it's unfortunate, but in today's day and age, there's a large section of the country that has been convinced that they have been denigrated. They've been oppressed. They've been held down and all of this sort of thing, in spite of what the reality is around them. It's a sham. It's a great they fooled so many people into believing that this is so when it actually is not. And so what do we do there? Well, there's only one way to combat it, and that's to make sure that people have the truth. Now, here's the thing about a mature Christian, okay? And boy, this is going to maybe sound I don't know how it's going to sound. I'm just going to say it. The thing about a mature Christian is that they are more concerned with how they live for God and for others than they are about what they're getting.
Yeah.
And so she feels like she has had her entire life changed in a negative way, and she's had things withheld from her. And so she's angry and she's mad, and she's going to show America by turning her back on America, and yet she wants to somehow represent America. Of course, you know, when somebody's emotional like that, they're not going to make any logical sense. But
no,
it's just very immature. And so, you know, I think that there's a large portion of America that does think that way, though, and that's a large part of why we're where we are right now. All right, folks, we're already at the halfway mark talking about where we are. But stay tuned through the break, jump into that chat room, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of
prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
So things fall apart. Do you know how to defend yourself using a Coupatone, pepper gas spray, or Taekwondo techniques? After spike training, you will. What about how to enter a securely locked installation or vehicle? After spike training, you will. What about street confrontation shooting, or how to organize the virtually untrained into force multipliers, or caching techniques to secure valuable and sensitive items on your person, within structures, and in the field, or combat assault repelling, or instinctive shooting, or something as simple as knot tying and rope making? Well, after spike training, you will. And I have only mentioned a few of the subjects covered only up to phase 6. Go to bogrites.us, that's bogrites.us, or avrn.tv to arrange to receive your 12 phases of spike training. Single phase downloads are also available on the site.
I'd say it's been a while since you heard this request, but my spirit is tired and I need your rest. I want to hear from heaven a clear word from God, a sermon of conviction straight from the heart. I've been hearing other preachers say I don't have to change. The most eloquent of speakers tell me I'm okay, but it hasn't eased my conscience, and I know it's not the truth. So when you stand before us, can I count on you? Oh, preacher, you say you wanna be my friend. Don't be afraid to call my sin what it is. And preacher, tell me I can overcome, but it's only by the blood of the Lamb. Don't tell me like I wish it was. Preacher, tell me like it is. So open up the Word and let the Spirit lead. Preach until I've heard God speak to me. Don't worry about my feelings. Don't worry about my shame. Just preach the cross of Jesus and that I'm to blame. Oh, preacher, you say you want to be my friend. Don't be afraid to call my sin what it is. And preacher, tell me I can overcome, but it's only by the blood of the Lamb. Don't tell me like I wish it was. Preacher, tell me like it is. Life is quickly passing, the world is fading fast, and the foolishness of preaching is the only hope we have. So preacher, You say you wanna be my friend. Don't be afraid to call my sin what it is.
And preacher, tell me I can overcome. But it's only by the blood of the Lamb.
Don't tell me like I wish it was.
Preacher, tell me like it is.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Contenders for the Faith radio broadcast. I'm Pastor Jason Burton, broadcasting out of Union City, Indiana, and the pastor of Cornerstone Historic Baptist Church, and, of course, the only megachurch pastor in Payson, Arizona, but just rich beyond belief. And
yes.
If you've ever met his family, you understand that is the truth. Praise the Lord. But, let's see. You're in your big squeaky chair. You've got the Cedars of Lebanon. And by the way, are those Lebanese cedars then flanking your desk? I guess they would be. And then the Library of Alexandria is back there as well. So anyway, did we cover everything? Because I wanted to get through that intro. You're here. But I wanted to thank everybody that was in the chat room for being in the chat room. We've got an excellent discussion going on in there. And so just wanted to say hey to Frank and Nunya and 008KLM and 3DJ and CLC Hater. And you're in there. Randy's in there. Splud's in there. Toby's in there. I'm in there. And I also wanted to give a shout out to a few special listeners tonight that have been faithful listeners for a long time right now, and that is Joey, Audrey, and Elizabeth. Little Elizabeth is so precious, and she listens every Monday night just about. And also I want to say hi to my kids, too. Did you know my kids are faithful listeners? Anthony, are your kids listening to the broadcast? Just kidding.
Anyway,
what are you going to say now?
That's what I'm going to do. Hold on a second.
Are you calling him?
No. Hey, get on, quick. No, I'm just going to go give him a spanking. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh,
you ought to be listening to the show. Some people's kids.
Let me say this. I appreciate all of our listeners. I really do. And I appreciate you, too. It's not Hatefulness Hour, so I can say you are my absolute favorite person named Anthony J. Garissi, who is a pastor of a Baptist church that I've ever met. So,
thank you. Thank you for being so specific right there.
Well, you know, I don't want to be unclear.
I understand. So, okay, I no longer sit under the Cedars of Lebanon.
Why?
That was actually because we moved from the one office to my office in
the
house.
Bring the cedars with you. I mean, that's what a megachurch pastor does.
What it is now is like press board, press board cabinets that. Yeah, not strong as the Cedars of Lebanon, but anyhow.
Oh, quit being so modest. Better. You're just trying to make our listeners feel better. You're trying to make me feel better, because I don't even have an office.
I know, I've seen
I'm not
it,
complaining, man. Though. I'm not complaining. I have everything I need.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, you just came back from the greatest trip ever. That was epic. So
I was epic.
Good for you.
And I got lots of pictures. I should bore everybody with all the stories and the pictures.
Hey,
I will say this, though.
What? I was going to say, why don't you show some of those pictures? Just describe them to us as we go. Just go one by one. Here's me standing in front of the car.
Yep,
here's me standing in front of the car with the mountain in the background. Here's me standing in front of the car.
Yeah, exactly. That's an eagle. You can't tell, but it was an eagle.
anyways.
No, can I tell one story? Can I? Just one? Okay, thanks. You're so gracious. Now, folks, don't tune us out. It was so exciting for me. It's the most exciting wildlife encounter I've ever had in my life. And so I've have to tell it on the broadcast. We are up in the Rocky Mountains, making our way over toward the Grand Tetons. But before you get there, you go over the Continental Divide in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And as we were coming up, we saw some little black dots on the side of a hill walking. So we went, kept driving for a little ways and parked and waited. And up over this ridge, about 100 feet from us, comes a mother grizzly bear with two cubs. Now, there was a silly guy with a ponytail that was halfway down the hill. We all figured that he would eat that guy, or she would eat that guy first, and so we felt safe. But it got some wonderful pictures of that up-close encounter with a grizzly bear.
You had your YouTube video on. And here's
That's what somebody said.
Guy getting eaten.
Yes, yeah, it was hilarious because there was somebody there from National Geographic. They had their big camera, you know, that's the barrel on the lens is like the size of a trash can or something, and they were like, well, I'm glad I brought my, I'm glad I was here to catch this. He said, this makes a great YouTube video, and so, but we all got to see it up close like that, and no, the mother grizzly bear did not eat the ponytail guy. Just
yeah.
saying,
Aww.
But
okay, so
it was one of the most exciting things I'd ever had. I was shaking because you know that's just an amazing thing.
That is an exciting thing, and you, I think you sent a video, but Frank made a valid point in the chat room about
he did.
Yeah, he said that. What that Olympian, basically what that Olympian was doing was displaying a lack of natural affection. But you waiting for the ponytail guy to get eaten by a grizzly bear, I don't think that falls into the without natural affection category.
No, listen, we were justifiable
entertainment.
We were all telling, maybe not, but we were all telling him to come back. I mean, there was one guy who was like, I'm a park ranger, you're a moron, get back here.
Yes.
Anyway, it was exciting in more ways than one. I'm going to try to post that picture to the chat room if I can do it sometime in the second half of the broadcast. So if I'm not listening to you, well, that's pretty normal. But I mean, if I'm not listening to you this time, I'm looking for the picture.
I just ask a question or, you know, raise my voice a little bit like, so what do you think? And then, you know, you just say, yeah. But anyway, speaking of Frank, I want to tell folks about Spike Training. I encourage you this weekend, starting Friday, at 12 p.m., he will be playing episodes 11 and 12. I think that's – what did you say, episode? I forgot how you would describe it. Episode or version or – anyways, Spike Turning 11 and 12, and it'll start Friday at 12 p.m., and it'll go all the way through till Tuesday, and I believe you said 1 p.m., so you can check that out on AVRN Live, and that'll be playing, so you don't want to miss it. Lots of good information that you can learn from, and so encourage you to check that out. Now, Jason, I want to read a letter real quick, and then let's kind of address this. This is the letter, and it's public, by the way. They posted it on their church website, the Fairview Baptist Church in Calgary, Canada. So this is a letter to Premier Kenney and the Alberta MLAs from the imprisoned Pastor Tim Stevens. He says, I write this from my jail cell in the Calgary Remand Center. The past week I've missed my wedding anniversary and Father's Day. My children will remember this Father's Day as a time when they wept over the phone as I did my best to stay composed before other inmates while expressing my love for my children. Your government has wrongfully put me on the horns of a dilemma. Either I forsake my convictions before God, or I'm in prison for some unknown time. Taken from my family and the church community, I'm entrusted to serve. If I choose the former, then I deny God. Thus, I'm left facing the consequences of the latter. My conscience is captive to the word of God and shall not be moved. I realize that you think it's best to adapt or change religious practices to work within the confines of your overbearing rules, but to adapt or change what I believe God calls me to do is to deny what God has called me to do. For example, I'm commanded by Jesus, who died to make me his own, to practice hospitality. In fact, as a pastor, this must be a defining mark of my life. Hospitality is the practice of welcoming guests into your home, a practice forbidden by your government for 6 months. When forced to choose between obeying God and obeying men, the choice is clear. I've shared publicly on many occasions how our theological convictions, mined from never-changing scripture, come into conflict with your ever-changing laws. AHS continues to make public statements that they tried working with us, which is shorthand for them seeking unbending compliance through greater threats of punishment. Not once has anyone in your government shown any interest in actually working with us. You have said that we have access to our independent judiciary for such discussions. However, our courts continue to refrain from weighing in on the constitutionality of your health orders. AHS lawyers continue to argue that more time is needed to produce the evidence that your office says it is using to make these restrictions. The courts have not proved to be a timely option for us. Your government can get a court order within a week. We are waiting on a hearing set for the end of September that began with lawyers in December of last year. The dates have been pushed back numerous times. Mr. Premier and elected MLAs, I'm pleading with you to uphold our highest laws to which you are held to account. Temporary public health orders do not supersede our Alberta Bill of Rights, nor our Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I know that I am in the minority, but these laws are designed to protect the minority. Mr. Premier, I know these restrictions will be lifted soon. I ask that you refrain from using imprisonment ever again to seek compliance to health orders. My imprisonment may be applauded by the left, but it has made Alberta the worldwide embarrassment of conservative governments. As restrictions are lifted, return responsibility to the people of Alberta and return it for good. May this not be a pattern for your government in the future. Thank you, Tim Stevens, pastor of Fairview Baptist Church. Now, this is our brethren. This is our brother still in jail because he refused to shut the doors of his church, Jason.
That's just amazing. And he's right. What an excellent thing to say about hospitality, by the way.
Yes.
That's actually a point in that letter that he mentions that I didn't even think about. It's true, though. When you're told to be, as a pastor, hospitable, you're told to invite people in, you're told to have people, come to you for comfort from the scriptures and things like that. And when a government tells you that it can't happen, that's very true. I mean, that's excellent. And true and scriptural. And so, what he said is exactly right. Now, the government of Canada or Alberta is going to just ignore it, as sure they do, because it doesn't benefit them, but it also should give others courage to stand in that way.
Governor DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who's been making waves for taking some fairly decent stands against the ridiculous, unscientific COVID restrictions and opening up the state of Florida and so on. He made a statement today. He said that if it wasn't for himself and the stands that he took with Florida, that we as the United States as a whole would be just like Canada. And I disagree with DeSantis, though I think it is responsible leadership to recognize the hype and the lack of science and the removal of his citizens' freedoms or his state citizens' freedoms. But I don't believe that's the case with America. I do believe that the reason why we didn't end up like Canada, maybe some places in, like New York or New Jersey, but the reason why we didn't end up like Canada is because not only our Constitution, but we still have a great fear of God in this nation. There are a lot of believers in this country that just will not take that kind of behavior. And I think God just wouldn't let it happen. And I feel sorry for our brethren up there in Canada, behind the Iron Curtain, and to Pastor Stevens there. I wish this wouldn't happen to you. And we're glad for your stand. But, Jason, I don't believe it is Governor DeSantis's actions that have protected us from what is going on up there. It's corruption. But
no, and politicians, they tend to have a bigger view of themselves than they actually have. He's just showing himself to be a real politician there by thinking that he has had more of an effect than he actually did. Of course, this is all to preface his run for the presidency of the United States.
Sure.
Which makes it a little bit icky, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. it really does. Bluntly. Self-aggrandizing, but I cannot ignore the stand that's still being taken. And he's getting the attention right now. But there are brethren in China and in many other places, whether it be Iraq or Iran, and these places that you don't get to hear about because there's no social media presence. And they're doing this and more so. There are many brethren right now languishing in camps that they'll never see the light of day in and ministering there because they decided that church was that important. And I've got to just say something to our listeners. Listen, folks, it cost this pastor something. And I appreciate what Frank said in the chat room, that I hope his children never forget what the government did to him. But more so than that, that his children understand the sacrifice that was made just for simply attending church. And while we're all whining and complaining about, the inconvenience, and we just don't see too many people out there taking a stand, well, this guy did just for keeping his church doors open. And I don't necessarily agree with the Reformed theology that he holds to. But I do believe he's a brother in Christ because he makes a profession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone.
Sure.
Sure. But he has showed the importance of what Christ has commanded us to do, and that is to assemble regardless of the unscientific, un-American, and unbiblical restrictions that a government would put on its place.
Yeah, and whether DeSantis made a good, you know, was the one that ultimately was responsible for us not becoming Canada in this sense, really, it doesn't matter. Because we ought to have pastors in the United States of America who, regardless of whether or not we turn into Canada or not, stand. Now, I think we had more stand here, and I think that that was probably more of an influence to the way things that have gone in America with the regard of the pastors than maybe a politician. And that's because, you know, we had some high profile ones. Actually, it took them a little while, some of them, but they joined what we were doing as far as not shutting the churches down, as far as standing against the local authorities with regard to these draconian regulations that were put upon the churches. It wasn't even regulations, was it? It was just fiat. It was dictate that was placed upon these churches. And so I think that that probably had more, but regardless, it still worked out that, that our brethren north of the border are having to go through it tough. Now, I know a pastor up there who's a they have a church that they've just started. I won't tell the city or anything like that on the air, but they've been left alone, and they're in one of the major cities in Canada, and he's just continuing on. But he has told me that he expects that any time the authorities could come in and arrest him and shut him down. That's communist China, yes. Isn't it? That's old Soviet Union stuff. And he rightly believes that that could happen because it has happened several times up in Canada. And it happened here, you know, at first a couple of times, and then the outcry was so much, it cost too much politically, that they stopped doing that. But up in Canada, they don't have to worry too much about that because it's basically a socialist society.
We read about this back in the 90s, Jason, about the old Soviet Union, how the churches had to meet in the woods, and they basically had to pass the meeting locations and the time through the elders of the church, which would then get passed to the church members, and it had to be clandestine, and it had to be secret, and many times they would assemble, and then the government would still find out, somebody ratted them out, and they'd come, just like they did with Pastor Stevens, where they were meeting in the forest, and they sent a helicopter, a police helicopter, to circle around and around, observing their assembly, and then the police show up the next day and arrest them. This happened, and we read about it. We never thought, oh, is this a possibility in our own country? And I believe it will be a possibility as this Delta variant begins to creep up in Israel and other and India. That this new hype, the next time they lock down our country, it's going to be tighter, and they're going to go one more step. And you mark it down. And pastors, if you hadn't taken a stand, you need to do it now. And I know that Pastor Stevens is not, we're not worshiping the guy. We're not elevating him beyond what he is. But listen, Hebrews says that we have a great cloud of witnesses. We have those that we look to in the past that have taken a stand. And now we have a pastor, one of three, who has taken a stand up in Canada. Guys, you see the sacrifice and the cost. And then when you get up and you're just too tired to go to church, remember there's a guy sitting in prison because he decided he would go to church when it wasn't allowed. And you are allowed to go to church, and you can't go because you're too tired, you got to go to work, or you've got too many other things, or you don't like the person sitting in the pew next to you. And guys, this guy's taking a stand, and his kid's got to sit there and go, my dad's a jailbird because he preached the word in defiance to a corrupt state.
They should hold their heads high about the stand that he's making, and they should be thankful for him to do so. And I tell you what, his kids will see this stand that he made, and if he sees it through to the end, they will be encouraged to live a life like their daddy. And so praise the Lord for that.
I pray so. I pray church folks across this country would also see that and do the same, and tell David Gibbs and all those other legal experts to shut up, stop advising the church. Go practice law and leave us alone and let us follow the word of God. Stop telling us to acquiesce and comply. Instead, take a stand, folks. Take a stand. Look, we know this government has no desire to support that which is good. Joe Biden just said that. And I believe it was a treasonous act for him to say this, Jason, where he said, hey, the Second Amendment's not unlimited. He said, you can't have everything we have. We have nukes and F-15s. You know what he's saying?
No matter what you have, we can beat you. That is his threat. That's the only way you can take it. Guys, this is our government. They have not our best interests at heart. They never did from start to finish. Take a stand. You've got nothing to lose. Do it. If you don't think God doesn't look down from heaven and go, you know what? I'm going to honor that kind of a stand. You're willing to stand and assemble to be with people that are imperfect. I noticed Frank mentioned this in the chat room about us being sinners. Nanya, I think you said the same thing. We're all sinners. And we all have to hold our head down just a little bit and look in and a little bit of shame and kick the pebble down the road and go, yeah, there's a lot of things I regret doing. Now, you know what assembling is? It's getting with people that are just like you. And be able to overlook some of the things they've done. And because of the blood of Christ, you're going to worship Jesus Christ with them. And maybe they're not going to align with you, but guess what? They're sinners. They need Christ just as much as anybody else does. And when you can assemble with people that are a wreck and love them just like Christ did when he went to the cross, I'll tell you something. You'll understand what assembling for church is. You'll understand what assembling for church is.
Yeah, I don't understand how a Christian could not think that it was important to assemble, in particular in the day and age in which we live, and in particular with the things that we have in the scriptures with regard to assembly. We do know that in the end there will be a great falling away, but from a Christian perspective, I cannot imagine being without my brothers and sisters in Christ, and when I'm not with them, I miss them and want to be back together with them. It's only under times historically of great persecution that this has been felt the most sharply. I don't want that persecution. I don't want it to come, but I do want people to love Jesus and love their brethren and to understand the importance of the church.
Amen. Amen. And I guess if you ever start to question the importance of the church, maybe take a look at Pastor Stevens. Send him a letter. There is actually an address. You can send it to the Calgary Remand Center. It'll probably get unsealed and read, but maybe send him a letter of encouragement and let him know, you know what, you were kind of getting a little grouchy and a little upset, and then all of a sudden you remember that there was a preacher who's in jail for assembling for church, and so you appreciate and are grateful for his stand, and you want to take a stand alongside of him. Now, that's what needs to be done. That's what needs to be done. And guys, as a show that's attempting to get the truth out, we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to take a stand for what's right. The church is what's right. All right, folks, that's it for us. We sure appreciate Frank producing this show. We appreciate Jason for being with us today. Appreciate you listeners out there. Thank you so much for being so faithful. Melissa Roxanne comes up next with New World Order Info. We'll see you next week. God's